travel to a long distance. I'm on the phone video calling, I got trust issues, and I just miss you. When I'm in love with you, you're like my twin. I feel it when there's something wrong with you. Anytime, day or night, holler, I'll come get you. And all of my possessions we can split in two. Like what would happen to my heart if I am not with you? Many times when you don't notice, I just look at you. When you're not around, I look at pics I took with you. Memorize all your features, the way your body be moving. I know I'm not there yet, but I'm steady improving. You love me though, you see all of my faults.
Good morning, Lagos. This is Wee Babur on Nigeria Info 99.3 FM, the show called Power Solutions, where we talk about the solutions and the hope at the end of the tunnel for the Nigerian power sector and not the endless problems. Today we have two great guests from the Lagos Resilience Office, and I know it's something you may not know much about, but at the end of the show you'll know everything about it. It's one of the most exciting initiatives of the Lagos State Government. So we have the Special Advisor to the Lagos State Governor on Resilience, in the name of Dr. Mrs. Ibiranke Sodende. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me on this platform.
All right. And then along with her, we also have Lagos' Chief Resilience Officer, Mr. Simon Gusa.
Thanks, Weaver. Great to be here.
All right. So we have a high-powered panel here today, and we're going to learn all about resilience and what it means, and then also how it links to power, and why we have this conversation around resilience on a show about power solutions. So to kick off the conversation, I'd like to go to you, Dr. Mrs. Sodende. Tell us about the Lagos Resilience Office. I know about 2 weeks ago you were officially launched by the governor. You guys hosted the first Lagos Resilience Week. It was actually, I was able to be there for a little while and speak there. It was quite a exciting, energetic event. So maybe tell us a bit about that, about the office and about the launch, and how things are moving currently.
Yeah, thank you very much. Lagos State joined the network of 100 resilient cities under Rockefeller Foundation. That is in May 2016. And we have been working since June, that's 1st of June.
Okay.
2018.
Okay.
But we were officially launched on the 2nd of April 2019. And we had a week, that is the Resilience Week, from 2nd to 5th of April 2019.
Okay.
It was a very wonderful week, very impactful, where we have so many people, we have speakers, facilitators, and very, very insightful, educative, and informative presentations were made. And I believe that, you know, people that were there, the participants, the delegates, they learned a lot in terms of, you know, the identified challenges, the gaps, and, you know, the solutions, which we believe that, you know, everybody will be able to work on it. Because, you know, having a change or whatever, you know, to change everything, we need everyone. And that is why I believe that even regarding this, you know, power issue, you know, it's all encompassing. And our office, that is the Lagos State Resilience Office, is not, we are not implementers.
Okay.
We are not, but we are strategic planners.
Okay.
Myself, you know, the Chief Resilient Officer. Then we have the team members that are drawn from different, it's a multi-sectoral office, multidisciplinary office. I mean, the team members, we have the ones from environment, education, health, transportation, all encompassing, which involve different ministries. Because the challenges are there, but for you to be able to mitigate or even have adaptive solution to any problem, you must be able to identify the source. Because once you identify the source, more than 50% of the problem is solved.
Right.
So having different, you know, team members, all of us coming together, identifying the gaps, because every day, there are shocks, there are stresses, acute shocks, and even stresses.
Right.
Like this power issue we are talking about, to me, it's a stress, and at the same time, you know, it's a shock.
Right.
Because everybody is involved.
Right.
And I believe that, you know, the Lagos Resilience Office, you know, is able or has the ability to improve on the resilience capacity of individuals and even the, you know, corporate organizations. You know, when everybody, when we come together, at least a lot of things, you know, will get done.
Right. And because it covers so many sectors, obviously your model where you have experts from different ministries come in one, then you break down the silos.
Yes, that is
okay. Fantastic. Okay, so let's move to Simon, the Chief Resilience Officer of Lagos. Tell us, actually, now listeners are probably curious, what do we actually mean by resilience? And then it was earlier mentioned something about the 100 cities and so on. Maybe you can talk a bit about how this fits into the sort of broader global program, and then we'll come back to Lagos again.
Sure. So thanks, Weaver. Resilience is actually something that we all know about. Every human being has resilience. Resilience is what makes us to recover when we're pushed down, when we have setbacks in life, generally. Okay. Specifically,
so Lagosians are already by
nature my goodness.
Very resilient.
Lagosians are way ahead of the curve. Okay. They've got it all.
So we should be teaching the rest of the world. It shouldn't be them coming here.
You are very correct. Okay. Let me pick up that very point you've just made. So you might now say, why do we need a resilience office since Lagosians are resilient? And the way I explain this to people, I come back to your favorite topic, which of course is football. And you might say, you know, why does the best footballer in the world, Messi, need a coach? Does that coach know football more than Messi? No. But all the coach does is that he can shape Messi's gift better. So I guess that's what we're here for. We're not here to teach Lagosians how to be resilient, but we are here to shape the resilience narrative better, to make sure that we can get the most out of our resilience. So essentially, when we talk of resilience, we are talking about the capacity to bounce back. Specifically, just very quickly, resilience comes from kind of three fields, right? I think the term largely grew in the ecology field, where you talk about the resilience of ecosystems. So you might have a really, really bad dry season or a drought, 3 years drought, everything dies. Then the rain falls and everything comes back to life. The ability to come back to life after that drought is resilience. That is ecological resilience. The systems have bounced back. In engineering, it's the same thing. When a building is subjected to high winds, the buildings, a very tall skyscraper, is designed to just deflect slightly. And then after the wind is removed, after the load is removed, it returns back to equilibrium. That is resilience. If it deflects and doesn't come back, that is called failure.
Okay.
Aha. So failure, in engineering terms, failure is the opposite of resilience. And then, but most importantly, what most people know is psychological resilience. That's the third field where it really comes from. And this, we all know about it. You have a disappointment. Something bad happens to you. You have a setback. Somebody close to you dies. You know, for a while, you feel as if the world has come to an end. You know, nothing is going right. The world is looking upside down. But then something happens. You start to reach out. You start to do one or two. Maybe you do a little bit of exercise. You go for a walk. You clear your head. You talk to friends. You spend time in prayer. You listen to music. You engage. And before you know it, even though something really bad has happened, you find yourself bouncing back. That's resilience. So we are now saying, how can Lagos as a city bounce back? And not just bounce back in a, you know, in Nigeria we say we're managing. It's not about managing.
Right.
You know, tightening belt and tightening belt. No. You have to bounce back and be better than you were before the thing happened.
Right.
You know, so we have a slogan. Our slogan is a three-word slogan. Survive, adapt, grow.
That's for Lagos Resilience Office that or is, for the global program?
We have adopted that. Okay. It's a global thing. It's a global concept. But we have adopted that as our own slogan here. Survive, adapt, grow. So the first thing, when something hits Lagos, Lagos must first survive. Okay? Then,
so give us an example. Something like what hits Lagos?
So you have shocks, you have stresses. Okay. Shocks are those sudden things. You know, building collapse. You might have a riot. There's a breakdown in law and order due to whatever reason. A tanker explodes and consumes the whole half of the road. You have a storm surge. You have a terrible storm that, you know, a 100-year storm that hits the city.
Right.
Those are the things that hit as a shock. And sometimes a shock can even be economic. You know, sudden fuel scarcity, it just hits the city.
Okay.
It can throw the city off balance. So you must first survive that, right? Or you have a total blackout, 3 days, no power, the whole of Lagos. That's going to hit Lagos hard, even though we're used to light going off here and there. But if light were to go off for 1 week, which it can do, when, let's say, the grid goes down, then you're going to have a shock to the system. You must survive. But when you survive, you then come out of it. You must then adapt. You must be reflective. You must say to yourself, wait a minute, what just happened to me? How can I make sure this doesn't happen again? You know, any smart person, you have a shock, you make sure if it's something that you can take care of, What can I put in place? What policy needs to change? Mm-hmm. What behavior needs to change? What did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. And what did I do right? You know, so there has to be a period of reflection. Reflection is really important, mm-hmm. so that we're not going and hitting our heads against the same wall again and again. You know, and then if you get that right, then you will grow. And so even though you were hit by something really bad, shock or a stress, the ongoing stresses of pollution, population out of control, lack of jobs, lack of affordable housing, these are the stresses. We can find solutions that helps us to survive, adapt, and grow. Okay. That growth is really important because Nigerians, like I said, we have a good concept of management. You keep tightening your belt, you keep tightening your belt, but I mean, how far will you tighten your belt? You know, there comes a point in time you must actually overcome that problem if you are truly resilient.
So maybe, SA, if you can talk a bit more about the global program. Because what's great about this is that you're not actually just operating sort of in a silo here in Lagos. You're interacting with 99 other cities globally. And I guess learning from them and they're learning from you. So maybe talk a bit about that program and how it works and how Lagos is benefiting because of that.
Yeah, thank you very much. The issue is that, you know, Lagos State Resilience Office is in infancy, I would say. So the only thing is that, you know, we are just at the early stage. But if we look at everything, because we all read, we all see things, we've been to different places. And it's about benchmark. Benchmark, you know, learning from successes of others, as well as, you know, from their failures. Whereby what they have done right, you can adapt it. You can adopt it, and then you adapt to your own peculiarity. Because no two cities are the same. Even twins, identical twins, they are not the same. They have differences. But once you are able to assess, you know, the peculiarity, identify the peculiarity, then you'll be able to know which one do you want to adapt for you to adopt. Because it's about sustainability. And most especially this resilience issue we are talking about is about sustainability. It's not a one-time thing that you just do, you know, or it goes. So it's just looking at, you know, proactiveness, then, you know, anticipatory approach, and then even to the extent of mainstreaming. Because there are existing structures that, you know, for cost effectiveness, there are, you know, some analysis you just need to do. Because otherwise, you just keep on going, 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 going. And whether the government comes to play, the residents, they are resilient. And they look for ways, strategies, you know, to mitigate the problems they have. But it may not be a legitimate one. That's the problem. And so doing that, they compound issues. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, with a 100 RC network, at least we have a Liberia, Kenya, New York, you know, different cities. And I believe that, you know, within the soonest possible time, we'll be able to do it in some places or learn things from them that we will now bring to Lagos. And adapt, because even Lagos, as it is doing a lot of things, fantastic things. But with the office, we might be able to harmonize all these things. And for the fact that, you know, we have different people in different fields, it makes things easier. And then interacting even on local and on international level, like for example, the during the last through the Resilience Week we had. We have many speakers. We have many people that have done a lot of studies, researches, and they have identified some problems, challenges, and some solutions they have. So, but when we come together, then we'll be able to know which one are appropriate that can be correctly applied to our own situation. So, I believe that, you know, with the office, we'll get to our destination for a better resilience. Lagos, healthier, and smarter city.
Well, we look forward to that. So just a quick follow-up question. Within that network of 100 cities, which are the cities that are kind of most like Lagos that we can learn the most from? Are there any cities in the network that fit that?
Yeah, from, like, for example, New York. Liberia has issues, you know, like us too. And they too, they have just launched their own you know, office. And by the time we all come together, make presentations, you look at the one, even those that have been in existence, that's why I'm talking about, you know, mainstreaming approaches. Because those ones that have been there and they're now better, you know, when you move into them, you see what they have done. You can now, you know, bring them into your own system. And all these things, it's not even about learning from successes or failures. It's about even the in problem, in-house problem, or in-house you know, issues. Like the political will is key. Because if you want to do anything, you can have a lot of ideas or ideologies. But if you don't have the drivers, the key drivers that can really bring it, you know, to play, you're just joking.
Right.
So so apart from learning there, it's about in-house issue too that we need to address for us to have a complete solution.
All right. Thank you very much. So, Simon, let's jump back to you. What are the key sectors that you think are the most important to deal with for Lagos to become truly resilient? And I hope power is one of them. And if not, we'll have to end the show now.
No, we will not be ending the show.
Okay, good.
Look, the thing is that power, let me start with, because you brought up the issue of power. There are a number of sectors. But power for us in many ways is key. But we don't, it's not, for us it's not just about power. It's we like to use, talk about the term energy poverty. So it's energy poverty because you have, yes, power, electrical power, because people associate electrical power with light and with industry and running things. But then, you know, you have the fact that, you know, people in a modern city like Lagos, you know, a lot of people are still burning firewood, for instance, creating creating a lot of air pollution, you know. So we like to look at quite broadly at energy poverty. We think that is really important, but we think power is the key. We think power, and it goes without saying that power is the active ingredient for a modern economy, you know, and without power, we really can't move Lagos forward. And when you have power, power has this knock-on effect on all sectors. During Resilient Lagos Week, the general manager of the Lagos State Water Corporation was there saying, look, if he had power, there would be more water.
You know,
if you have power, education gets better. If you have power, health gets better. If you have power, you know, industry is more productive. If you have power, so it goes without saying that power is number one in that sense. But also in Lagos, we're very, very conscious of the fact that Lagos, the economy of Lagos is largely informal. The role that government plays as a percentage of the GDP is actually quite small. Government is important for setting the standards for you know, for enforcement and for creating the environment. But really, it is Lagosians that are getting on with things, and so, and a lot of that is informal. And this is both good and bad, because informality is very flexible. The informal economy is super flexible. It can respond to changes in economic terms. It can respond, demand and supply, you know, is responded to very, very quickly. But the problem is that it can be chaotic.
Right.
This is what we know. So informality, it can be chaotic, and this becomes a problem. So informality is a big thing. The informal sector is a big thing for us. The second thing that's a big thing for us is the fact that we refer to Lagos, or some academics have referred to Lagos as one of the African water cities, you know, and so water is has a lot to do with the life we live in Lagos. As soon as it rains, we know about it. We have water for good. Lagos is Lagos because of the port, because of the seaport. And so water historically is what brought development to Lagos. It's what brought industry to Lagos. So that's good water. But then there's bad water as well. Water flooding. Water in terms of...
But Fela said water, I don't get any meat.
Well, this is the issue. And that's it. No, that's a very important point, because we say that as well. It's very important in the sense that you can't fight water. That's what we are saying. You can't fight it. How do we live with water? You know, you have some Dutch background. You know a little bit about living with water. You got to live with water. You can't fight it. You know, I think the Dutch have proved more than any other country that water no get enemy. They've learned how to live with it. They know what to do with it. You know, and how to turn it to a benefit. You know, in terms of having, you know, the huge port of Rotterdam, for instance. You know, so Lagos needs to do that. We need to sort out, you know, one or two things and make sure we get that done. And so those are the sort of key priority areas for now. We're also looking at things like transport and mobility. Moving people around is a big thing in Lagos, and it contributes both in terms of shocks and in terms of stresses. So transport, mobility, moving people and goods around is super important, as well as ecological and natural systems, and we're not respectful of those at all. And that's partly why we have quite a lot of flooding, by the way, is because we block up the natural flows of where these waters are supposed to go, and we're killing off the mangrove. You know, we're chopping down the trees, and what this does is that it reduces your capacity to deal with storm runoff and water runoff. And when you concrete everything over, you're going to have runoff, right? So that's where the flooding comes in. So there are a number of priorities, that we're really looking at. But power is, in many ways, if you were to ask me if we could solve one problem today, I would say solve power.
All right. Well, that's what we're working on. So that's good.
Yeah.
So let's go to the phone lines. If you can, Zainab, if you can share the numbers, and then if listeners want to know more about the Resilient Office, they can call in.
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
All right, so while we're waiting for callers, Dr. Sodende, let's come back to you.
Okay.
So while you're working on this, obviously you probably want the people of Lagos to somehow engage with you. So if there's someone out there or a community that has a resilience issue or has an idea, what do they, can they come to the office? How does that work? How is the engagement kind of with the public?
Yeah, the issue is that, you know, this issue of resilience, as we have highlighted, I just want to throw in one thing that it's about, you know, four P's.
Mm-hmm.
Four P's, mm-hmm. public, private, mm-hmm. people, partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about, you know, stakeholders' engagement, mm-hmm. community involvement, engagement and participation,
mm-hmm.
which along the line, you know, apart from sitting in the office, we go into the communities as well, which we did, you know, a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have planned to go, you know, so many times, like a focus group discussions, you know, survey. So through that, you know, what...
we have to go to the phone lines. We have a call.
Okay.
Then we'll come back to that.
Okay, let's... All right, good morning. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, good morning. What's your name? And please let us know what the question is. We lost the call?
Okay, all right. So, sorry, continue.
Yeah.
You were talking about the engagement?
Yeah, the engagement, you know, because it is very key. Mm-hmm. Just like the other time when I was talking, whatever you want to do, mm-hmm. if you don't have the drivers,
mm-hmm.
and the drivers are the human resources,
mm-hmm.
whether, you know, the communities or other stakeholders, you know, private, mm-hmm. all of them are encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going into the midst, identify, mm-hmm. you know, challenges. Then we have some non-governmental organizations as well,
mm-hmm.
that are really addressing these issues, like Space for Change.
Okay.
We were, you know, with them at Makuku one time, you know, one mm-hmm. of the, all those remote areas.
Mm-hmm.
We were there because just like what Mr. Simon was talking about, you know, is the informal sector that is mostly affected.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that, as he has identified, you know, power mm-hmm. is key. It's key. It's all encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
The health impact
mm-hmm.
is there.
Mm-hmm.
The productivity aspect, that's the economic aspect, is there.
Mm-hmm.
The safety aspect is there. You know, you have fire disaster,
mm-hmm.
where people, they use kerosene, candles, all sorts mm-hmm. of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if all these things are not mitigated, mm-hmm. there's no way. That's why, you know, the community, we have to engage with them every time.
Okay.
Then they can now come even to our office.
Okay.
You know, and we have the website, you know, that they can use as well.
So here's someone who wants to engage. Let's hear from him or her. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. What is your name and what is your question?
My name is Adeniyi. I'm speaking from Festac Town.
Okay.
Can I speak to your guest here?
Yes,
now,
go
we
ahead.
Have water here that leaks from Maiti to Marina. Are they going to allow the company to run a boat service that was shown in this base? That is, the person must observe all the safety regulations. Is the company going to allow it? Because we should have one in Maiti that leaks to Marina.
You're saying there's a water, what? A water company?
That's a waterway. Isn't
waterway?
People are interested in running ferry services.
Ferry services, okay.
But they don't know whether the government will allow them to run it or not.
Okay.
So if you can kindly help me pass the question to our guest here, please.
Is
Are you in a position to answer that?
Sure, okay. Sure. What I'll just say is that thanks for that question, Adini. The resilience component of your question is, look, how do we get more transport pathways? How do we decongest the roads so that, you know, life can move forward better? You know, so the idea is that, yes, at Resilient Lagos Week, Laswa was there, the Lagos State Waterways Authority, and they have, as you know, Lagos State has invested massively. Mm-hmm. In water transport, at least the infrastructure side. The mm-hmm. services have not started flowing as much as they should, mm-hmm. but the infrastructure has been laid down. The government has spent the last 4 years building jetties across the city. Mm-hmm. A lot of the infrastructure still needs to be developed, and some of these waterways, I cannot speak specifically to the one from Mile 2 to Marina. I cannot address that specifically, but I do know that, yes, you are very correct. If people have alternative means of transport, then people can get off the road and get themselves to their businesses, much better. And so the stress of traffic would very much go down. So yes, indeed, it's something that is being looked at. But the level of infrastructure development, I can't specifically address.
Okay, all right. So I've been told by Zainab that we only have like 2 minutes left. So this went really quickly. But so, Doctor, maybe you can give us a sense of, you know, what can we expect from the Resilience Office in the next year or two? Where is it going, you know, and what are we looking forward to?
Yeah, just as I've identified earlier on, that, you know, the team or the office, you know, comprises of, you know, multidisciplinary, mm-hmm. you know, members. So whereby now we are working on presenting a resilience strategy.
Okay.
Like a roadmap.
Okay, so that we're looking forward rather than just being responsive.
Yes, so that, you know,
okay.
We look at different sectors, different mm-hmm. ministries, mm-hmm. different agencies, mm-hmm. not only, you know, within the secretariat, but in the community, mm-hmm. private sectors, civil society, all of them, you know, they will be involved. Mm-hmm. And they will be able to draw that roadmap mm-hmm. and we present. Then each ministry can now know how to marry it with mm-hmm. whatever they have in place. Because it's like, it's about a collaborative, you know, cohesive mm-hmm. effort. That's mm-hmm. how we can get to that destination we are dreaming of.
Okay. And so, Simon, the final word from you. I've heard you talk about Lagos by 2100 is going to have 70 to 80 million people. What is the Resilience Office going to do in terms of getting us ready for that?
Well, first of all, as Dr. Shodende said, we have our strategy coming out later this year. And that strategy is a loose framework that will guide us into the future. Mm-hmm. It will be constantly refreshed and updated into the future. The main challenge in Lagos, really, the bottom line challenge, apart from power is the solution, mm-hmm. but the main thing that most people identify as a challenge is just that Lagos's growth is not under control, mm-hmm. you know, because the more Lagos is successful, the more it's attracting people. So population is the big issue. So we do need to get on top of that. Mm-hmm. How do you get on top of that? Well, there are limits. You know, we can't start issuing visas, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That is not an option. But what we can do, and because the Resilience Office is embedded in the Ministry of Economic Planning and Development, Ministry of Economic Planning, Budget and Economic Planning, that is actually the hub for data. Mm-hmm. That is the data hub. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to really, and we will be very strong on data. Because mm-hmm. as Dr. Shodende said, we're not an implementing agency. Mm-hmm. We need to be a data hub. Mm-hmm. And the Ministry of Economic Planning and Budget needs to be Lagos data hub. Even if we can't stop people coming, let's know who's here. Mm-hmm. Let's know what they're doing. Where are they? Are they paying tax? Hello? And so on. Mm-hmm. So yes, so we need to focus on data, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing for the future of this office.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I think our time went really quickly. We could have kept going for a while, but Zainab is the boss. So we're running out of time now. But Dr. Shodende and Simon, thank you so much for being on the show. I hope the listeners learned something about an office that is incredibly important to the current, the present and future of Lagos, but we may not yet know that much about. But I think we'll be hearing a lot more from you in the coming months and years. So thank you very much for being on the show. And Lagos, thanks for another great day to speak with you. And I look forward to being back next week on Power Solutions on Nigeria Info 99.3 FM.